Welcome to All Learning Reimagined, the podcast that defines convention and redefines the purpose and practice of education. Here we venture beyond the institutional boundaries. Whether you're a parent, educator, or curious mind devoted to lifelong growth, this is your space to challenge assumptions and co-create a more humane and intuitive approach to education. Let's reimagine what education can be.
G'day, and welcome to All Learning Reimagined. I'm your host, Teresa, bringing you a little ray of sunshine, as together we're reimagining the future of education, one inspired story at a time. And I have an amazing guest for us today. Ross is someone who I'm always inspired when I talk to him. I always walk away with just feeling just more connected to myself and to the world around me. I really love having conversations with him. So let me just tell you something a little bit about him. So Ross grew up in New Zealand. He didn't really like school. He didn't really want to go to school, and he couldn't wait to leave. So he left school as soon as he could at 15, and he spent a lot of time pondering on his own thoughts on, you know, why are we here? What am I doing? What is consciousness? And the world was really, really complicated. And he felt like he didn't quite belong here at this period in time, which, let's face it, a lot of us can probably relate to something like that. He moved to Australia in 1988, very interesting date, 1988, and went through a very long journey discovering who he is and how life actually works. And when he went to university, he did a STEPS program and lots of different programs, which I'm fascinated about. So voice dialogue and the circle of security, nonviolent communication, therapeutic drum training. Yeah, that sounds fun. And conscious discipline. And there's a lot of things that I feel we all learn along the way. But the thing with Ross that I wanted to talk to him about today is his interest in nature and, of course, Steiner. So let me say a big, fat, warm welcome to you, Ross.
Hello, Teresa. Thank you for having me here. It's great to, it's one of my passions is to talk about this stuff that you're just talking about now.
Yeah.
Love it.
Yep. Absolutely. And I always love talking to you. So I guess I probably rushed your bio. I could have talked for about 10 minutes just about all of the things that you've done, but I just am so keen to get in and have a conversation. So my first question for you is, could you share a little bit about your learning journey and what inspired you to explore alternative education models, for example, Steiner?
Well, I guess it's, for me, one of the biggest things is in this reality. So as you shared before, a lot of this has to do with it's to do with the experiences that I've had and from my childhood when I actually withdrew. I felt my consciousness basically withdraw from the world because I was so, I guess I just was very sensitive to a lot of things and just withdrew because I felt the pain of a lot of things. And it wasn't until later in my life that I had another extreme experience, which actually brought some perspective onto what was happening in my life. And so I guess to put some sort of clarity onto what I'm talking about, I just see life as a spiritual journey. It's a big learning, like the world. The physical world is a classroom for us to learn, and I just see it as everything is an opportunity to learn. And yeah, I've had some pretty amazing, well, I'd say I've had a pretty ordinary life, but some extraordinary insights into and making connections between different points in my life, and that's given me some inspiration. So it's, yeah, I could go anywhere. I could just waffle on about just all sorts of things. But I know there was a pivotal moment in my life when I had And this is out of the circumstances where we are the dark, where it's the darkest and the most painfulest, I now have the gratitude and the awareness of how inspiring that moment was and how it changed my life. It's a complete flip around. And that is one of the things that I'm reading at the moment is called Sacred Agriculture, and it is the alchemy of biodynamics. So biodynamics is a it's like a it's a an whole theory or an idea around agriculture that Rudolf Steiner is a guy that lived when was it? It's the turn of the century, 19th century. So, yeah, he or 20th century. Yeah, so going back about 100 years this year, he passed away. It was 1925 that he passed away. So he was a amazing guy who had so much information and so much insights into everything and anything, you name it, he had some ideas about it. But one of the things that first got me interested in him was biodynamics, which is the it's bio is life and dynamics is energy. So it's basically life energies and the dynamics of the life energies. And it has to do with agriculture. He basically, some farmers actually came to him and said, our farming practices are starting to just fall apart. We can't grow anything anymore. And he agreed that he would do some lectures to help them to come up with new ways, new practices to increase their productivity on their agriculture. And so a lot of people who read Steiner's stuff actually find it very difficult. And I did struggle at first to try and read his stuff. But then eventually I came across this guy called Dennis Colic, and he's it's called Sacred Agriculture, and it's the alchemy of biodynamics. And basically it's like a decoder for what Steiner has been writing in. And basically what Dennis is saying is that it's all in alchemy. He basically Steiner was talking in alchemic terms, terminology. And once you start to understand the language of alchemy, it just all fell together and it made so much sense. It's
And
very,
I really
very
love the conversation, like what you mentioned about the fact that life is learning, like our university is life. You don't need a piece of paper to have life skills and to learn. We can learn everywhere. And that is probably the appeal with Steiner, is the fact that he keeps drawing nature in. Head, heart, hands were one of his key nurturing points that he had, and he was really connected to the land, to country. And feeling that, and also the cosmos. It wasn't just practical what was in front of you. He could see many different layers, and the fact that he was able to bring it from the land and into education was pretty special. He was well ahead of his time. And a lot of people, I feel, are now starting to discover him again in the last few decades. But not everyone's been ready for that. They've sort of gone down the technological path. And but there's a huge swing towards coming back to the land. And alchemy with biodynamics and agriculture is something that our indigenous communities have always known. So this is nothing new whatsoever. It's just there's a lot of different cultures around the world that have lost their way when it comes to connecting with nature and growing your own food, that sort of stuff.
yeah, it's all connected. And I guess with biodynamics, I guess the journey was that I was only introduced to biodynamics probably, it was only probably 3 years ago, maybe now. And I've joined a group that we've actually go around to different people's places and talk about and do demonstrations and practice actually doing the biodynamics. So I've been on the land for, so I actually didn't grow up on the land. I actually grew up in a little town when I in New Zealand, and didn't have a lot to do with the actual agricultural area. But although mum and dad did actually have a garden, like a very good garden that I just used to go out and pick food straight out of the garden and eat it straight away. And I've always loved fresh food straight out of the garden. So when I got over here and got with somebody else, and we ended up buying a property get together, I just, one of the first things I did was to put in a food forest. I just love working with nature and working with the plants. And what I was finding was that as I did, the more I worked in the land, I started to realize that the land was communicating to me, and it was actually, there's this dynamics that actually happens. And that's when I came across, so then I was actually learning a lot of things around how to plant, like the life that's in the soil has been depleted because of our farming practices. We've been push, 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 and we just want to control it instead of listening to nature, then, stopping and actually just paying attention to nature, because nature's always trying to tell us and communicate to us what it is that we need to be doing with nature. And that's what basically alchemy is all about. It's a communication system where we actually open up and start to communicate with nature. And it's been an interesting journey. And since I have been growing the food, and I've been doing regenerative agricultural practices, permaculture, all different types of things about trying to reestablish life in the soil again, to bring it back, to actually some of the food that we are eating today tastes like it's got, there's nothing in it. It's hollow. It's got no flavor anymore. And guess where the flavor comes from? It's the nutrients. Nutrients gives food flavor. And that's why our food has got no flavor anymore, because it's got no nutrients. And that's why we're all getting sick, because there's no nutrients. We're just getting depleted in nutrients. And so that was one of the things that people that now are getting some of the food that we are growing on our property are now just going, wow, this food has got flavor. I've never tasted anything like it. I know I was, when I was working in town, when I first had this place, and we were growing some strawberries, and I'd take some strawberries into work and sell it to some of their colleagues there, and they were just going, I've never tasted anything like this before. It's just amazing. And that's an indicator of the fact that it was coming back to, it's the life force that's in the food. So yeah, nature can teach us so much. And Steiner, basically Steiner had, he taught this, a lot of people would have heard of the Steiner schools. So the Steiner schools have principles. There's actually a set of principles that govern how to interact with the children, and how to is like a the age of different, there's different stages of development that the kids go through, and that they, there's certain ways of interacting with those children that will stimulate them to grow in a more, what's the word? It's a natural way. It's a natural way of learning, and they will accelerate. Whereas, again, it's the same principle that we're doing with agriculture. We push, we so much push our, push plants to grow. We make them grow. And it's what we are trying to do to our kids. We're trying to make them learn. And when we try and make them learn something, they rebel against it. And that was my experience when I went to school. That's why I hated school. It's the way they were trying to force, I felt as though it was trying to be forced on me something that I wasn't really interested in. And it wasn't until I left school and found my way in the real world, in the real learning playground, which was the world, I started to actually realize I could learn. And I was one of the things I learned and well took on board was that I was stupid. When I went to school, I thought I was stupid because I didn't get it. And then when I went into the real world and started to get things on, and then I went to university and learnt and did the STEPS course, which was actually learning how we learn, and then the penny dropped. I just went, oh, that's why I didn't get it, because it didn't meet my needs. It didn't fit my learning style. And once I started to realize my learning style and I used that learning style to navigate the world, I started to just take on so much new knowledge, and I just loved learning. And I was just, it was such a huge contrast between my earlier life and my new life in the real world.
Oh gosh, I can you I was almost teary then when you were talking because I can picture what you're talking about, these children that are in classrooms that are being forced to learn when they're not ready. You have to sit here, you have to color this in, color in between the lines, do this, do that. You can only go to the toilet on the bell, all of these sorts of things. And you are so right. That message you just said then really just hit me because grass doesn't strain to grow. It's not out there, straining to grow. And nature is meant to be ebbs and flows and rhythms and seasons. And children are exactly the same. And putting us in a grade where we're all at the same level, all at the same time, in a uniform, we're not robots, we're not clones. We need to have that natural freedom to be able to learn in our own style, in our own way. That's probably one of the appealing strategies that Steiner uses, is it's very organic, and also most of his lessons are linked with stories. So they always start with stories, and then they go into creativity and do things from that, and definitely connect from nature. So yeah, I
Well,
just love
and
what
it's
you just
interesting.
shared.
Yeah, it's interesting. Yeah, you say talk about stories, because it's like saying one of the things in alchemy is that there are analogies everywhere. It's all about analogies. And so an analogy is like a representation of something it represents. And these stories represent our archetype, it's archetypal stories that represent things, and that's how we grasp ideas. Because language, that was one of the things that I found in school. Language was so clunky. I didn't get it. I didn't understand how to spell. So spelling was this ritual of all these different sounds of these letters. So we had to learn a whole alphabet of letters, and each letter represented a sound or a way of sounding something, and then we put them together in a spelling, like a system of spelling that then made a word, which was, it's like spelling, it's like magic, it's like an incantation. You're creating something out of these words. And that was just, it was so complicated, and I just found it clunky, and the representations were very limited with what each word meant. Whereas within alchemy, the alchemy is actually a very simple way where you only have the four elements, and the four elements are an interaction, and they represent, again, it's an analogy, a symbolic representation of things that then interact with each other. And life and learning is all about relationships. Alchemy is all about relationships. It's between its substance and different states of being and how they interact. And those interactions, it's the magic happens in the interaction. So all life, all energy, all things that are happening is all to do with relationships. It's all to do with two perspectives or two points that come together, and the meeting of those two points, the meeting is where the magic happens. And you could say that in language, like when we learn a language, two syllables, two letters come together and they create the magic of something new happens out of it. But it's so much more organic and natural in the way it's explained in alchemy, whereas language is very clunky and very artificial and very controlled and manipulated and limited in what it is. And it locks us in a cage. It actually locks us and restricts us from just being creative beings that we are. We have no limitations. As a creative being, we have no limitations. When we understand who we are and what we are capable of, we can do anything. But when what we've been doing is we've been conditioned in our education system to be limited in our views of the world and our potential, and it locks us in a little cage, and we don't have any. We need to escape. We need to get out of that. It's a very, and my journey through my life has given me this huge contrast of that, given me so much awareness from a beginning of my life, and then there was a pivotal point where I have an extreme situation that, and then from there, it was like a new beginning in my life. It was like being born again. It was a total contrasting moment in my life.
Gosh, Ross, every time you speak, there's so many things that you're jam-packed, like there's so many layers within what you're saying that I'm feeling, and it's like, oh yes, I agree with that. Like you were talking about words and the use of language, and it's only the last, I don't know, 5 or 6 years that I've really started to become aware of the words that I use and the resonance of the words and the energetics of words, because there are some words that you just say the word and it feels wrong. It doesn't feel good. And yet a lot of these words are embedded in our language. I've got lots of children who'll say, oh, you man, that's sick. And they're thinking it's cool, as the, you know, as it's good. So they're saying sick, you're sick. And I'm like, why would you tell someone they're sick? That just doesn't make sense. And yet it's sort of snuck into the lexicon, you know, into culture, basically through television, of course, which is programming. But the subconscious is listening to this conversation, and our subconscious is absorbing all of the words that we're speaking because our inner self is always listening. So I know intention can override that. I totally get that, but the energetics of words is really powerful. So I agree with you on that. And I also love when you were talking about relationships, I 100%, 150%, 1000% agree with you. Relationships is everything, hands down, number one. Whether it be relationship with nature, relationship with self, relationships with other beings, animals, pets, people, it's just hands down living, learning. And you can't do anything without it. You can't do anything without relationships. So everything that you just said, I'm just sitting here nodding my head, going, yes, I agree. And sometimes we do have to hit rock bottom before we turn around and see with gratitude all of the amazing gifts that there are in that, and what we can be grateful for in our lives. So I'm just resonating with everything that you're saying so much. I do have a question for you, though. So we're talking about all of these principles and the fact that, you know, children should be able to be creative and learn at their own pace, and let's get connected to self and to land and to nature. What would this look like? So we've got schools out there in many different variations. How could you actually turn this into a practical step that parents or educators of any type of organization or environment, you know, what could they do to actually take steps moving towards this freedom of learning that we're talking about?
I think the first step is probably to get out of the classroom. Like the classroom is a artificial box. Again, it represents a limiting structure that says this is where you learn and this is what you do. Whereas nature is very open, and just flexible and spontaneity. Like there's spontaneity, because if you look at another thing in classrooms, structure, it's all very rigid. It all has these ritual, this rituals and structure. And I get that we have to have some structure, but I think that again, it has to be balanced. And this is where nature out in the world, we can, and you make the most of the spontaneity. You go into nature and you can communicate. When you're spontaneous and you open yourself up, nature talks to you, and it'll give you information.
I agree. And teachable moments, having the freedom to be able to go, oh gosh, these children are interested in this. Let's take this there, rather than, oh, I'm sorry, I've got to stick with the lesson plan or the curriculum or what I've been told I have to teach at this time in this room on this timetable. So having that freedom to be able to use that teachable moment and be spontaneous, is the way that, I feel like a lot of the children connect a lot better that way. And yes, I also agree that there needs to be some level of structure. If it's absolute complete freedom, particularly if you're coming from a system that's you're used to structure, then that could just make everything fall apart. So there needs to be a bit of a balance, in those things. There are a lot of places that do have some structured learning, like for example, 2 hours a day, and then after that, then it's excursions or apprenticeships or going outside and doing different activities, different physical activities, you know, music and dance or sport or whatever. And so that has a little bit more freedom. And those sorts of learning environments are gaining a lot of popularity and traction. So there are a lot of places that are trialing and doing these things, and they have been doing it for quite a long time. It's just not everywhere at this stage. There's a lot of parents that I talk to that say, what can I do? What alternatives have I got if I do not have the capacity to homeschool? And there seems to be a seeking out there, a searching for alternatives, certainly in Australia anyway. It's been coming along now for well over a decade, this huge shift searching for something more and something different outside of four walls. So I agree. Do you have any? I'm just looking at the time and we're almost down to having to wind up today. So, have you got any messages or anything that you would like to really share from your heart space for any parents or educators who are listening right now?
I guess the number one thing that comes to mind is the biggest thing is our institution, like our education system. One of the main things that they're doing, again, going back to what we were just talking about, structure and how I think it become the rigidity, I guess, is the thing that locks us into a way of seeing. So I see the opposite as an antidote to the educate to the what's broken, I guess, or what's not working well in the education system would be to have that spontaneity to or the openness to look at nature and see that as a message, as look at this, and then use that as an opening to then learn something from it, whether you have something structured around that. And that comes from Steiner's, let nature guide you in the direction that you want to learn things.
Beautiful. I love that. I absolutely love that. Well, you know, thank you, Ross, for coming on and sharing your perspectives today. And I really can attest to the fact that you're always reading a book. Every time I talk to you, you're reading another book and your learning journey is still going. And I just absolutely love that. So thank you so much for taking the time to come and join us today.
Thank you. Oh, it's been a privilege being here. Thank you.
Of course, of course. And for everybody else, thank you for joining us at All Learning Reimagined. Until next week, explore, experience, express, go out, and bloody well live learning. So thank you, everybody.
Thank you for joining us on All Learning Reimagined, where passion illuminates the path forward. Remember this: the future of learning doesn't arrive from above, it begins within. You are the spark, the shift, the living answer to education's silent call for transformation. So stay curious, stay awake. Let inspiration be your compass, because how we learn today is not just personal, it is profoundly generative. It shapes the very architecture of tomorrow's world. We are not separate from the system. We are its evolution. Until next time, trust the wisdom of your own unfolding and let your life be the lessons that light the way for others.